Okay, let's jump right in. We've got a fascinating situation today. A list of companies showing seriously unusual trading activity.
Yeah, it really stands out.
It's like the market has suddenly put a spotlight on these particular stocks, and the information we have gives us a real peek, into what might be driving all that energy and volume.
That kind of unusual volume, especially the spikes we're seeing here, it's usually a sign that something significant is happening. It's rarely just random noise. It
Right.
typically points to maybe a significant news, a real shift in sentiment, or sometimes just intense speculative interest. And this list, well, it provides a tangible snapshot of exactly where that market attention is focused right now, today, June 10th, 2025.
Absolutely. So for this deep dive, our mission is, well, pretty clear. We want to unpack the key insights from the data we have on these specific companies.
Get to the bottom of it.
Exactly. We need to figure out the potential reasons behind this atypical trading, get a handle on what these businesses are all about, and sort of see how they connect to some of the bigger stories playing out in the broader market. It's about getting you, the listener, quickly but thoroughly informed on this specific market phenomenon.
Yeah.
I just find it incredibly interesting to look at these lists and try to deduce why certain stocks are suddenly moving like this. It feels like solving a puzzle sometimes.
It does. And often these sudden spikes in activity, they're the market's reaction to powerful underlying narratives or trends. The trading volume is the effect. The narratives are often the cause, or at least a big part of it.
Connecting those dots, that's the key.
That's where the real value is, trying to understand that connection.
Precisely. Which is why, before we zero in on the individual companies, it's super helpful to zoom out a bit. Let's look at the major themes that the information we have points to as currently driving a lot of market focus.
Makes sense.
Thinking about these first provides like a crucial lens through which to understand the specific stocks that have grabbed today's attention.
It's like understanding the prevailing winds before you look at which specific leaves are blowing the hardest.
Exactly. Great analogy.
And the data we're analyzing today, it highlights three major themes, and you'll see, I think, pretty clearly a strong correlation between many of the stocks on this unusual volume list and these big
All
narratives.
right, let's lay them out then. The first big story, maybe not surprisingly, is artificial intelligence expansion.
Yeah, no surprise there. This narrative is all about the continued, really rapid advancement and integration of AI technologies across, well, almost every sector imaginable now.
It feels like it's everywhere.
It really does. And it's not just about the flashy consumer apps, It encompasses the deep dive into machine learning, the expanding capabilities of generative AI, and the huge potential for automation to fundamentally transform how businesses operate.
And the reasons this is such a dominant force right now, based on the information we've got, it seems to point to constant technological breakthroughs, just pushing the boundaries of what AI can actually do.
Constantly evolving.
Right. And there's the potential for massive productivity gains. I mean, we're talking about efficiencies that could truly rewrite business models, maybe even whole economies.
That's the promise, anyway.
Then there's just the sheer scale of investment pouring into this space, from the tech giants, billions being spent on R&D, infrastructure like specialized chips, cloud
This is
capacity.
capital flows.
And finally, it's the growing adoption. AI is moving from the lab, kind of, to widespread use in everything from enterprise software to everyday consumer devices. It feels less like a future thing and more like a present reality that's just gaining momentum fast.
And what makes this narrative so impactful for the market, I think, is how tangible that investment and potential seem right now. Massive investment translates directly into demand for hardware, software, services from specific companies.
You can track the money.
Exactly. And productivity gains means investors are actively trying to identify which companies can either deliver the AI tools or, maybe just as importantly, leverage them effectively to gain a competitive edge. It's a really powerful forward-looking narrative that touches so many potential growth areas.
Yeah.
Even if, let's be honest, predicting the long-term winners and, crucially, the actual profitability remains pretty challenging.
Sure. Lots of hype still. Okay, so AI is number one, narrative number two, biotechnology and healthcare innovation.
Another huge area. This theme captures all the excitement and, frankly, the real progress in medical science. We're talking everything from the fundamental process of discovering new drugs to the rise of personalized medicine and the development of entirely new therapeutic approaches to disease.
And the drivers pushing this narrative forward. The information we have highlights some truly groundbreaking areas. We're seeing breakthroughs in gene editing technologies like CRISPR, you know, which hold incredible promise for treating genetic diseases.
Game-changing potential there.
Definitely. There are also notable successes in developing novel cancer treatments, including some really advanced cell therapy stuff that felt like science fiction not too long ago.
Absolutely.
Then there's also the persistent need. The unmet medical needs for serious conditions, the demographic reality of an aging global population requiring more healthcare solutions.
A built-in demand driver.
Right. And maybe the lessons learned, or perhaps the raised expectations, from recent rapid drug development efforts during the pandemic, which might have, you know, unrealistically boosted expectations about the speed of medical innovation sometimes.
That's a good point. And this is where that high-risk, high-reward aspect is probably most apparent, right? Biotech value is often intrinsically almost completely linked to the outcome of clinical trials.
Everything hinges on the data.
Pretty much. A single phase 3 trial result, positive or negative, can have an immediate, dramatic, sometimes company-altering impact on its valuation. Areas like gene editing or these advanced cell therapies are incredibly compelling because the potential to treat previously incurable diseases is just immense.
Huge upside.
Huge. But, and this is a big but, the science is incredibly complex. The regulatory path through bodies like the FDA is rigorous, lengthy, and expensive. And unfortunately, failures are common. Very common. So market focus tends to be heavily weighted on the potential breakthroughs, making it inherently speculative, especially for those early stage companies without approved products yet.
Got it. Huge potential human impact, which is amazing. But also immense uncertainty tied directly to the science and the regulatory hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and wrapping up the top three narratives, renewable energy and electrification transition.
This covers that whole global movement towards sustainable energy sources, reducing reliance on fossil fuels, expanding the adoption of electric vehicles or EVs, and building out the vast infrastructure needed to support this massive shift.
The forces driving this seem equally compelling, don't they? There's the undeniable urgency driven by climate change concerns.
Front and center for many investors and policymakers.
We see significant government support globally, too, including policies like the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, in the U.S., which provide substantial incentives and subsidies for renewable energy projects, EV adoption, and related manufacturing.
Policy is a major tailwind here.
And crucially, the cost of renewable technologies like solar and wind has fallen dramatically over the past decade or so, making them increasingly economically competitive, sometimes even cheaper than traditional sources.
That economic tipping point is key.
And of course, there's growing consumer demand for electric vehicles. You see them everywhere now.
Absolutely. And connecting this back to the market, those government policies and the falling costs directly enhance the profitability and the growth prospects of companies across the entire ecosystem. We're talking utility scale, solar and wind developers, battery manufacturers, EV charging network operators, companies involved in grid modernization technology. It's a wide net.
It touches a lot of areas.
It really does. And the narrative also includes the significant infrastructure challenges, right? How do we upgrade these often outdated power grids to handle intermittent distributed renewable sources like solar and wind? How do we build out a ubiquitous, reliable charging network for all those EVs?
Big questions.
Big questions. But these challenges also represent major business opportunities for companies providing the solutions.
Right. Challenges equal opportunities for someone. Okay, so three powerful narratives shaping market focus. AI transforming industries, biotech pushing the boundaries of medicine, and the global energy transition gaining speed. Now, as we dive into this list of specific stocks showing unusual volume today, you'll see how many of them are direct participants in, or maybe perceived beneficiaries of, these major stories.
It's a really clear illustration, I think, of how these macroeconomic and technological themes translate into focused activity on specific companies in the market. You can see the theory meeting the practice, so to speak.
Okay, let's shift our focus then. From the broad themes to the specific companies that are generating all this buzz today, the volume numbers we're seeing on some of these names are frankly incredible when compared to their typical daily trading, just way off the charts.
Yeah, some of these numbers are wild.
So we'll walk through the top few by volume to get a sense of the variety on the list and then maybe highlight key insights from some of the others.
Sounds good. Starting with the highest volume often points you towards the company where the most significant event or maybe the most intense speculative surge is likely centered for the day.
And leading the pack, I mean, with truly eye-popping activity, is CARM. That's Carisma Therapeutics, INCC. Now, listen to these numbers. This is just wow. Its price is up a staggering plus 363.05% today.
363%.
Yeah. It closed yesterday just above 22 cents, and it's trading around $1.05 right now. And the volume. Over 697 million shares have traded hands.
697 million.
Compared to its average daily volume, which is usually somewhere between, what, 1 and 3 million shares?
Right. So orders of magnitude higher.
This is where the unusual becomes just extraordinary.
That percentage jump and that astronomical volume, especially for a stock that was trading well below a dollar previously, it's absolutely remarkable. Now, Carisma Therapeutics, CARM-M, it's a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company.
Ah, clinical stage. Okay.
Yeah. And its focus is on developing cell therapies based on macrophages, which are a type of immune cell specifically targeting cancer. So as you might expect, it sits squarely into our biotechnology and healthcare innovation narrative. The info we have gives it a very high correlation rating, 9 out of 10.
Okay. So it's right in that wheelhouse. Given those numbers, I mean, something major is clearly happening, right?
Oh, certainly.
The information we have strongly links this kind of massive spike to potential clinical trial. Maybe some positive data readout from an early stage trial, phase one or two, perhaps.
It's a very common catalyst.
Or possibly an important regulatory announcement, like maybe getting a special designation from the FDA, like fast track or orphan drug status, or maybe news of a major partnership with a bigger pharma company, or significant funding news, like a big investment.
Exactly. Those are the classic catalysts for these kinds of explosive moves in small, early stage biotech companies. It really checks all the boxes for potential drivers.
And this really exemplifies the inherent reality of early stage biotech, as the information notes, doesn't it? Carisma is listed as pre-revenue.
Correct. No product sales yet.
Which means its financial metrics, things like operating margins and profit margins, are typically deeply negative. The data we have shows figures often below, like minus 500%, which sounds terrible, but...
But it isn't necessarily because the business is failing in a traditional sense. It reflects the massive, unavoidable cost of research and development, R&D, and funding those expensive clinical trials when there are no products on the market generating sales to offset those costs yet.
Right. They're burning cash to develop the science.
Precisely. Their earnings per share, or EPS, estimates are also negative. And just a quick reminder, EPS, earnings per share, is basically a company's net income divided by the number of its outstanding shares. So negative EPS means they are currently losing money on a per share basis. This financial profile is absolutely typical for companies heavily investing in R&D with the hope, the bet on future product approval and sales.
Right. So as an investor, you're really investing in the potential of science years down the line rather than any current business performance metrics.
Exactly. It's a bet on the future.
Looking at other data points for CARM, the current price around $1 a five, well, it's over 500%, about a 52-week low, which makes sense given today's massive jump.
Yeah, that low base makes the percentage look huge.
But it's also still, interestingly, 70% below its 52-week high, which suggests it might have traded much higher in the past, maybe on previous good news or market hype, before pulling back significantly.
That's common, too. These stocks can be incredibly volatile, up and down.
The data also mentions the possibility of recent reverse stock splits or maybe public offerings.
Which are very common tools for small companies like this. They use them to raise needed capital or sometimes just to meet exchange listing requirements, like staying above a certain price per share. And these actions, especially reverse splits, can significantly impact the share price and the number of shares outstanding. A reverse stock split, just to clarify, consolidates existing shares into fewer but theoretically more valuable shares. So if you had 10 shares at $1 after a 1-for-10 reverse split, you'd have one share at $10.
Got it. Changes the numbers, but not the overall market value initially anyway. What about analysts? Does the data say what they think?
Where analyst coverage exists for CARM, the information suggests it generally leans positive, showing a buy rating. But, and this is key, the focus is squarely on the potential of their core technology, that macrophage platform weighed very heavily against the very high clinical development risks and the long, uncertain path to actually getting a product approved and onto the market.
So potential versus risk, the classic biotech trade-off.
Exactly. And the recommended hold time aligns perfectly with this. Long term, if you're truly betting on a significant scientific breakthrough, or maybe just short term if you're purely trading around specific news catalysts like today's potential event.
Makes sense. And the probability of it continuing to go higher from here.
The data lists it as medium to high, but, and this is the critical caveat, always this is entirely dependent on the actual trial outcomes or confirmed news flow. Without positive news, these spikes can vanish quickly.
It's just absolutely wild to see a stock jump over 360% in a single day.
Yeah.
It just screams catalyst play in the most dramatic way possible.
It really does.
And it highlights that high stakes, almost binary outcome nature of early stage biotech development, doesn't it?
It's the perfect example of that extreme volatility. Being clinical stage means they are literally putting their core science to the test in human trials, which is incredibly expensive and risky. And being pre-revenue means there's no existing income stream to cushion against setbacks or even to support the valuation through traditional financial metrics. The value is almost entirely a projection, a hope of future success.
Okay, fascinating stuff with CARM. Moving to the second stock on our list by volume today, we have KLTO. That's Keitel Luho Neurosciences Corp. This one also traded an extremely high number of shares today, over 334 million.
Another massive volume number.
Yeah, compared to what's likely a very low average daily volume, given its characteristics, which we'll get into, its price is up significantly too, almost 20% today. So a big move, though not quite the CARM explosion.
Still a very notable move. Now, Cloco Neurosciences, KLTO, it's another company operating in the biotech realm. The information we have indicates they are focused on developing therapies for age-related diseases, specifically targeting a protein called Clotho, which is thought to play a role in the aging process.
Interesting target. So another clear connection to the biotechnology narrative, right? The data reads it 9 out of 10 correlation.
Yep, squarely in that theme.
But here's where this one gets, well, interesting and maybe a bit cautionary. The data we have explicitly notes that fundamental details about this company, things you typically look for, like its headquarters location, the year it was founded, number of employees, even crucial things like the number of shares outstanding or the public float, the shares available for trading.
Basic company information.
Right. Analyst coverage, data on insider or institutional ownership, all of that is listed as not widely disclosed.
That's a flag.
And furthermore, the information explicitly states there are no widespread significant social media rumors mentioned either. So it's not like there's a huge buzz online explaining it, at least not according to this data.
Okay, that lack of readily available public information is a significant flag. A big one, actually. It very strongly suggests this stock is likely listed on an OTC market that's OTC, over the counter.
Right, not the major exchange.
Exactly. Securities trade directly between dealers rather than on a centralized exchange like the NYSE or NASDAQ. And OTC markets, especially the lower tiers like the pink sheets, typically have far fewer reporting requirements. That means much less transparency for investors.
So less information available publicly.
Much less. So when you see this kind of extreme volume spike and a significant price movement in a company with so little readily available public data and without clear confirmed public news or even widespread rumors driving it, well, it becomes highly indicative of pure speculation.
So while the underlying catalyst, if there is one, is still probably dependent on potential clinical trial results or FDA news or funding, just like other biotechs.
Right. The potential drivers are likely similar in nature.
The lack of visibility makes it significantly riskier because investors have so little fundamental information to actually base their decisions on.
Exactly. The data lists the probability of it going higher as medium, but that's contingent on those potential, largely unknown outcomes. The core takeaway here, derived directly from that lack of public information coupled with the extreme volume, is that this trading activity screams highly speculative play.
Okay.
The recommended hold reflects this. Either very long term for highly uncertain potential breakthrough, basically a lottery ticket on the science, or short term for pure speculation, essentially, gambling on unknown events or just market momentum dynamics.
It's quite a contrast to CARM, isn't it? With CARM, we had some details, a clear sector focus, and a massive percentage move likely linked to some specific news, even if unconfirmed. Here with KLTO, it's huge volume, a decent jump, but very little concrete public information explaining it, according to our sources.
That lack of information is the key insight for KLTO based on what we have. It really distinguishes it from a typical biotech moving on expected news and places it much more firmly in the realm of trading based on minimal, perhaps even unverified information, or just pure momentum chasing. Caution is definitely warranted.
Okay, duly noted. Let's move on to number three on our list today, WNT. That's WinTree Therapeutics, INSEE. This one also saw substantially higher volume today, over 108 million shares traded.
Still very high compared to its average.
Yeah, the data says its average is usually around 2 to 5 million shares. So a big jump in activity. And its price is up a notable plus 40.06% today.
Another significant percentage gain, WinTree Therapeutics, WinTee, is yet again another biotech company. Their focus, according to the information, is on developing therapies for acute cardiovascular and pulmonary diseases. Think things like heart failure or respiratory distress syndromes.
Okay, so cardiovascular and pulmonary focus, but still biotech.
Still biotech. So yet again, we see a strong tie to the biotechnology narrative, rated 9 out of 10 correlation in the information we have.
Man, biotech is really the dominant theme among these top volume movers today, isn't it?
It certainly seems to be the main event based on this list.
Looking at WinTree's financial snapshot, it's becoming a familiar picture for this sector, right?
Yep.
Clinical stage and pre-revenue. The financial data shows those typical deeply negative operating and profit margins, similar to Charisma, reflecting that heavy R&D spend with no product sales yet. Their EPS estimates are also negative for this year and next.
Right. It's another company where the current financials primarily reflect significant investment in future potential, not current profitability. Looking at historical EPS, the data shows negative annual growth over the past 5 years, around negative 20% per year.
Okay.
Their current price, around 78 cents, well, it's about 150% above their 52-week low, helped significantly by today's 40% jump. But similar to CARM, it's still about 70-80% below its 52-week high.
That pattern again. High volatility, maybe past struggles or dilutions.
That pattern can sometimes indicate a challenging past trajectory, potentially involving those reverse splits we talked about, or maybe dilutive share offerings needed to shore up the balance sheet or maintain listing compliance. These actions can definitely create that kind of chart pattern.
What about the analysts on WinTree? The data says their views are noted as mixed. That's interesting.
Yeah, mixed suggests some differing opinions. They seem to highlight the potential of the drug candidates in the company's pipeline, which is the upside case. But they also point out the significant need for capital to fund those ongoing and future trials, and of course, the inherent risks of drug development where failure rates are high.
Potential versus capital needs and risk. Sounds about right.
The catalysts driving potential activity here are pretty much the same playbook as other clinical biotechs. Primarily, results from clinical trials, any communications from the FDA regarding their drug candidates, potential collaborations or partnerships with larger pharma companies, and always importantly, news regarding financing, securing the cash needed to keep operating.
And the recommendation.
The recommended hold is medium to long term for those investors focused on the pipeline development itself, or short term for trading around specific catalysts. The probability of it going higher is listed as medium, but again, entirely dependent on positive data emerging from those clinical trials.
So WinTree shares many characteristics with Charisma, both clinical stage biotech, both with large volume spikes today, driven by similar potential catalysts. But WinTree's percentage increase today, while strong at 40%, is obviously less dramatic than CARM's 360% plus slide.
Right. That difference in the magnitude of the move could simply be due to the nature or perceived significance of the news today, if any is confirmed for either stock. Or it could just be different levels of speculative fervor or market attention between the two names.
Sure.
But the core takeaway for WinTree, based on the data, is that it really embodies that typical clinical biotech risk-reward profile. Its value is fundamentally tied to future data from trials, it requires significant ongoing funding, and it operates with negative margins as it invests heavily in R&D. While its focus on acute cardiovascular and pulmonary diseases might imply a slightly different market pathway or development time frame compared to, say, cancer therapies or aging, the fundamental reliance on clinical success and navigating the regulatory process remains exactly the same. High risk, potential high reward.
Okay, makes sense. Now, shifting gears slightly for number 4 on the volume list, EVGN, that's Evogene LTD. This company also saw exceptionally high volume today, over 101 million shares.
Another one hitting over 100 million?
Yeah, far exceeding its average, which the data puts at only 0.5 to 1.5 million shares typically. So huge relative increase. And it had a significant price jump today too, up over 82%.
82%, another big mover. Now, Evogene, EVGN, this one brings in our second major narrative more strongly. It's described in the information as a computational biology company.
Computational biology. Okay, what does that mean exactly?
It means they use a TAT-enabled platform, specifically leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning to develop and improve products for life science-based industries. Think agriculture, like developing better seeds, or crop protection and human health, like discovering drug candidates.
Okay, so while it's strongly linked to biotechnology, the data gives it an 8-10 correlation there.
Right, because its end products are in life sciences.
It also has a significant connection to the artificial intelligence narrative. Rated 7-10 correlation.
Exactly. It sits right at that intriguing intersection of biology and AI, using computation to tackle biological problems.
That sounds pretty cutting edge. How do his financials look compared to the pure biotechs we just discussed?
Well, it's also R&D focused and listed as pre-revenue for many parts of its business, with negative operating and profit margins, typically in the Eneco 100% to Nexus 200% range, according to the data. So still spending heavily on development.
Okay, so similar there.
But there are some notable differences in the growth data compared to the clinical biotechs. The information shows its EPS growth over the past 5 years was negative, around Megastead 10% annually. However, the estimated EPS growth for the next 5 years is positive and substantial, listed at 25%.
Interesting turnaround projected there.
Yeah. And similarly, on the sales side, the data indicates positive sales growth both over the past 5 years, around 5% annually, and year over year, around 10%. And its EPS, quarter over quarter, is listed at 100%, which, as we said, often indicates a significant recent change or maybe just a very small base number, making the percentage look large.
So some positive trends or projections mixed in with the current losses.
That combination is quite telling, isn't it? It paints a picture of a company that is currently loss-making as it invests heavily in its platform and R&D, absolutely. But it's one where analysts and perhaps the market see potential for significant future growth, maybe driven by that AI-powered platform starting to bear fruit or gain traction.
Right. The AI component seems key. The bet is that their computational platform can make the discovery and development process in life sciences, which is notoriously slow and expensive, potentially faster and more efficient than traditional lab-based methods.
That's the core value proposition. Can AI speed up biology R&D?
So the catalysts for Evogene are probably less about a single make-or-break clinical trial outcome and more about things like R&D milestones for their platform itself, successful field trials for their agriculture applications, securing licensing agreements or collaborations with larger agricultural or pharmaceutical companies, and of course, funding news as well.
Exactly. Progress is likely measured differently. Now, analysts, according to the information, are generally positive on the potential of Evogene's computational platform and its application across these different industries, ag and health. But they also acknowledge that even with AI acceleration, the path to fully commercialized products in life sciences still involves relatively long development cycles. It's not instant magic.
Still takes time. What about price targets?
The target price range mentioned in the information is $2 to $4, and the recommended hold time reflects that longer view. It's listed as long-term, focused on the maturation of the technology and its successful commercialization down the road. The probability of going higher is medium, again, dependent on that R&D progress and securing those key partnerships or licensing deals.
It's really fascinating to see the AI narrative manifesting here, not just in a pure software tech stock, but in a company applying advanced computing power to potentially accelerate biological discovery. It feels like a glimpse of the future.
It really shows how AI is becoming, or aiming to become, a foundational tool impacting really diverse sectors, including trying to speed up those often slow, costly, and uncertain processes within biotech and agriculture R&D.
Very cool. Okay, coming in at number 5 on our unusual volume list today is GELS, which the data list is GLTQ LTD. Another one with extremely high volume, over 77 million shares traded.
Still huge volume.
And a large price surge today as well, up over 68%. So another big percentage mover.
And this is where we dive, well, arguably even further into the realm of limited information, maybe even more so than KLTO.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the data we have on Geltech explicitly notes that fundamental details are not widely publicized. We don't have readily available information mentioned for its headquarters state, the year it was founded, employee count, share count, public float, or even any data on insider or institutional ownership.
Wow, so really basic stuff is missing.
Very basic stuff. There's no analyst coverage mentioned at all. And the information specifically states very limited or no significant social media rumors.
So even less to go on than KLTO, potentially.
It appears so, based on this data. Now, the information suggests Geltech is likely a pharmaceutical or biotechnology company, possibly focused on drug delivery technologies, maybe new ways to get drugs into the body effectively. That gives it an 810 correlation to the biotechnology narrative in the data.
Okay, so likely biotech, but very opaque.
Exactly. But that extreme lack of public data, coupled with the high volume and the significant price spike today, leads to a single, very clear insight based solely on the information provided. This is a stock where the trading activity is overwhelmingly driven by speculation. Full stop.
And the data explicitly calls this one out as highly speculative, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That phrase is used directly. When a company with so little apparent public transparency sees such a dramatic volume spike and price jump without any clear, widely reported news mentioned in the data we have, it's almost certainly being fueled by speculation, maybe rumors not captured here, or perhaps specific unpublicized events known only to a few. The only potential catalyst mentioned in the data is, and I quote, any press releases, if any exist.
If any exist, that just sounds like a massive flashing caution sign for anyone looking for fundamental reasons behind a stock move, doesn't it?
It really does. It underscores the uncertainty. Consequently, the recommended hold is purely short-term for speculative plays, and the probability of going higher is listed as low to medium, underlined again by that description, highly speculative.
It serves as a crucial reminder then, doesn't it, that unusual trading volume doesn't always point to a solid underlying business development or a scientific breakthrough. Sometimes it just indicates intense, high-risk speculation, often happening in the less regulated or less transparent corners of the market, like the OTC space.
Precisely. It's vital to differentiate between volume driven by news or fundamentals and volume driven purely by speculative flows, especially when information is scarce.
All right, point taken on GELs.
Yeah.
Let's look at number six on the list, MRN, Marin Software Inc. This one saw significantly higher volume than its average over 55 million shares traded versus an average the data puts at 0.5 to 1.5 million.
So again, a very large relative increase in activity.
Right. And it also had a substantial price jump today, up over 82%. Similar jump to EVGN, actually.
Another big percentage gain. Now, Marin Software, MRN, this takes us back firmly into the tech sector. They provide a cloud-based software platform that helps advertisers manage their digital advertising campaigns across various channels, search, social, e-commerce, etc.
Okay, so ad tech advertising technology.
Exactly. And this fits into our artificial intelligence narrative, weighted 6-10 correlation in the data. Why? Because ad tech platforms increasingly rely heavily on AI and machine learning algorithms to optimize campaign performance, improve ad targeting, automate bidding strategies, and analyze results. AI is becoming table stakes in this space.
Makes sense. AI optimizing ad spend. Okay, so a tech company in the ad space. Looking at the financials here, we see something quite different from the early stage biotechs. They actually have solid gross margins listed at 65-70%.
Right. And gross margin, just to recap, is the revenue left over after subtracting the direct costs of providing the service, the cost of goods sold, essentially. A good gross margin, like Marin's 65-70%, indicates that their core service is quite profitable on a per unit or per customer basis. They make good money on each sale before other costs.
Okay, that sounds positive. But
Their operating margins and profit margins are negative, listed in the famous 15% to negative 20% range in the data.
So they lose money overall. Why the difference?
That's a very common pattern, actually, especially for growth-focused tech companies operating in highly competitive markets like ad tech. The good gross margins mean the core service itself is profitable, but the negative operating and profit margins indicate significant spending below the gross profit line. Things like research and development, R&D to build new features and stay competitive, substantial sales and marketing expenses to acquire and retain customers, and general administrative costs like rent, salaries, etc.
So they're spending heavily to grow or compete.
It suggests exactly that. They are likely investing heavily, perhaps trying to expand their market share, develop new AI-driven capabilities, or adapt to the constant changes in the digital advertising landscape, like privacy changes or new ad platforms.
Mm-hmm.
This heavy spending means they aren't profitable on the bottom line yet, even if the core service economics are good.
Okay, that makes sense. The data notes their EPS estimates are negative for this year and next, which aligns with those negative overall margins.
Right. They're expected to continue losing money near term.
But interestingly, there's a positive outlook for estimated EPS growth over the next 5 years, projected at 15% annually. So analysts see a path to profitability eventually.
That's what the estimate suggests, yes. A turnaround is anticipated down the line. However, there are also challenges on the top line sales. The data notes sales growth has actually been negative over the past 5 years, around negative 15% annually, and also negative year over year, around negative 10%.
Hmm. Shrinking sales but projected future profit growth. How does that work?
It could imply a strategy focused on shifting toward more profitable products or customers, cost-cutting measures, or perhaps pinning hopes on new product launches to reverse the sales decline and drive future profitability. That 100% EPS quarter-over-quarter jump mentioned in the data likely reflects a specific one-time event, maybe a cost reduction, or just a very low baseline number from the previous quarter, making the percentage change look dramatic.
Okay, so it's a mixed financial picture then. Good core profitability at the gross level, but overall losses due to heavy spending, coupled with past sales challenges, but maybe some hope for future estimated growth.
Exactly. It paints a picture of a company potentially in transition, trying to navigate a very tough competitive market. Ad tech is notoriously difficult.
What do analysts think overall?
The data indicates analysts generally have a hold or sell rating on MRM. They seem to acknowledge the platform's capabilities, but highlight the significant challenges in achieving consistent revenue growth and reaching overall profitability. The focus seems to be on Marin's need to effectively scale its newer solutions and prove it can compete profitably long term. The target price range mentioned is $2 to $3.
And any notes on ownership?
The data mentions some recent insider selling, which can sometimes be a neutral or negative signal, and mixed activity from institutional investors. Institutional investors, remember, are those large organizations like mutual funds, pension funds, and insurance companies that invest significant amounts of money. Mixed activity means some might be buying, some selling.
Okay, so what's the outlook or probability here?
The probability of Marin's stock going higher is listed as medium. The recommended hold is medium term if you're betting on a near-term turnaround or success with new features, or perhaps long term if you believe they can achieve sustained growth and profitability in that tough market. It's definitely a space where being at the forefront of AI application is increasingly crucial for survival and success.
So the core insight here seems to be, Marin is a tech company with a fundamentally viable service, judging by the good gross margins, but it's facing significant challenges in the highly competitive ad tech market. This leads to overall losses as it tries to grow and adapt, likely needing to leverage AI effectively as a key tool for its future.
Well put. And its volume spike today is probably linked to some company-specific news, maybe an earnings report, a new feature launch announcement, a partnership deal, or maybe just shifts in investor sentiment about the ad tech sector, all viewed through the lens of this competitive landscape and turnaround story.
Okay, interesting case study there. So we've covered the top six stocks by volume in detail now. Let's maybe take a step back and look at some of the other stocks on this unusual volume list. We need to group them a bit to get through them, but what themes or differences stand out based on the information we have?
Well, the most immediate pattern, looking down the list beyond the top six, is that several more are also biotech companies. We see names like MGNX.
That's Macrogenics, INC.
Right. Then ABCL.
Abcellar Biologics, Eng SE.
Inesmed Incorporated.
Inesmed Incorporated.
UBS.
Unity Biotechnology, NC.
And RFL.
Rafael Holdings, NSC.
Seeing all these names just reinforces that clear pattern we saw at the top. The biotechnology and healthcare sector, particularly companies in the clinical stage or heavily focused on R&D, is a major driver of today's unusual trading volume, according to this list.
It really dominates the list.
Yeah, it does. And these companies generally share the characteristics we've already discussed extensively, right? They're often clinical stage, either pre-revenue or with very limited product sales. They typically operate with negative financials due to high R&D costs. And their value proposition, their stock price movement, is intrinsically tied to the future success of clinical trials and navigating the regulatory approval process.
And for most of these additional biotechs, the probability of going higher is listed similarly, often medium to high, but always, always with that critical dependency on future specific catalysts like trial data readouts or FDA decisions.
Exactly. That caveat is universal for this group. Now, even within this biotech group, there are some interesting distinctions worth highlighting based on the data provided.
Okay, like what?
Let's take ABCL, Abcellar Biologics. We mentioned EVGN had an AI angle. Well, ABCL stands out because it has a very strong AI connection listed in the data rated 9 out of 10 for AI correlation.
Wow, 9 out of 10 AI for a biotech.
They use an AI-powered discovery platform specifically designed to find novel antibodies much faster than traditional methods. And antibodies, as you know, are key components in many modern drug therapies, from cancer treatments to autoimmune diseases.
Ah, so it's another company right at that intersection of biotech and AI, using AI to accelerate the drug discovery part.
Precisely. And Interestingly, the data shows AbCellera also has very high gross margins listed for its platform services, around 85-90%.
That is different from the purely clinical biotechs with negative margins.
It is. It suggests they are generating significant revenue and doing so profitably at the gross level by providing their AI platform and discovery services to other pharmaceutical and biotech companies through partnerships and collaborations. They aren't solely relying on developing their own drugs through the full, lengthy clinical pipeline, though they might do some of that too.
So a potentially less risky model, having a revenue-generating platform.
Potentially, yes. It can provide a revenue stream sooner and maybe diversify risk compared to a single product biotech. The data notes strong institutional ownership for ABCL, around 60-70%, which might indicate confidence from large investors in this platform approach. Analysts, according to the info, are generally positive on the platform's potential, but still note the inherent long timelines associated with the drug development process for the antibodies their platform helps discover. The probability is listed as medium to high, dependent on continued platform success and securing those valuable collaborations.
Okay, that's a really interesting model. What about INSM Insmed? You mentioned that one too.
INSM Insmed Inc. is distinctly different from almost all the others we've discussed so far. The information describes it not as clinical stage, but as a commercial stage biopharmaceutical company.
Commercial stage, meaning?
Meaning they have an approved product already on the market and generating sales. Specifically, the data mentions a product for a rare lung disease.
Ah, okay. So they've actually crossed the finish line with at least one drug. That's a huge difference.
It's a massive difference. Insmed isn't primarily valued on the hope of future approval. They have a drug generating real sales today. And this is clearly reflected in their financials, according to the data. They have high gross margins listed, 80-85%, which is typical of profitable pharmaceutical product sales.
Makes sense. Are they profitable overall?
The data indicates they still have negative operating and profit margins, likely due to ongoing R&D spending to expand their pipeline with new drug candidates, plus the significant costs of commercializing and marketing their approved drug globally. But, crucially, they have established sales growth. The data shows around 20% year-over-year growth and 30% annual growth over the past 5 years. That's solid top-line performance.
And ownership.
The very strong institutional ownership is noted, 90-95%. That's extremely high and suggests significant confidence from large institutions. Analysts are generally bullish, with buy ratings mentioned, citing that strong sales growth of their approved product as a key factor. Their current stock price, near $89 according to the data, is also much, much higher than most of the other, often sub $5, stocks on this unusual volume list, reflecting its more mature commercial stage.
So for Insmed, today's unusual volume spike is probably tied to something different. Maybe positive earnings reports, better than expected sales figures, news related to expanding the use of their existing product, or maybe progress in their later stage pipeline, rather than those high stakes binary outcomes of early clinical trials that seem to drive stocks like CARM or WNT.
Exactly. The drivers are likely related to commercial execution and pipeline expansion, which is a different risk profile. The probability is listed as medium to high. It really shows the diversity within the biotech sector itself, everything from highly speculative pre-revenue early stage bets all the way to companies with established growing products on the market.
That's a great point. Okay, what about the others in that biotech group? MGNX, RFL, and UBX. Anything notable there?
MGNX, MacroGenics, and RFL, Rafael Holdings, are described as more typical clinical stage biotechs, both focused on oncology or cancer therapies. The data notes MGNX has strong institutional ownership, 60-70%, similar to AbCellera. RFL, interestingly, has unusually high insider ownership noted, 60-70%, which likely means founders, management, or maybe a parent company hold a very large stake. There's also some institutional selling noted for RFL, which could be a point of caution. Both carry that medium to high probability, recommended as long-term holds dependent on breakthroughs.
And UBX?
UBX, Unity Biotechnology, is a clinical biotech focused on a particularly interesting and novel area. Aging, specifically developing drugs called senolytics that aim to clear out aging cells. It shares the typical clinical stage, negative financial, high-risk, high-reward profile. The data mentions analysts are positive on the long-term potential of this approach to aging, but emphasize the early clinical stage risks. Probability is medium.
Okay, so that covers the biotech cluster. Now let's quickly look at some of the stocks on the list that aren't primarily driven by the biotech or main AI narratives, according to the data we have. OST, Austin Technologies, what's their story?
The information says OST is a Singapore-based company operating in the tech industrial space. They apparently produce electronics and optical products for various industries.
Okay, so quite different. How do their financials look?
Notably, unlike almost all the biotechs we discussed, Austin has positive estimated earnings for this year, mentioned in the data around $0.20 EPS estimate, and it also shows positive past and projected future growth estimates for both EPS and sales.
A profitable company with growth. That's a change of pace for this list.
It is. The data notes it has limited analyst coverage, which isn't unusual for smaller international companies, but high insider ownership, around 40-50%. Crucially, its correlation to the major narratives we discussed, AI, biotech, renewables, is listed as low, only 3 to 4 out of 10.
So its unusual volume spike today is almost certainly due to something company-specific then. Maybe a big new contract win, a positive earnings surprise that just came out, or some other operational development in their specific niche, not being swept up in a broad sector trend.
That seems highly likely based on the data. Something specific to Austin is drawing attention. The probability is listed as medium.
Okay. How about AIRS, Air Scrub Technologies, ENC? Also sounds different.
Yes. AIRS is described as being in healthcare services aesthetics. They focus on providing proprietary body contouring procedures. So it's in the healthcare sector broadly. The data gives it a 6-10 correlation, but it offers elective services, not drug development like a biotech's.
Right. Procedures, not pills. Financials.
Similar to Austin, AIRS is shown to have positive estimated earnings, $0.20 EPS estimate, and positive growth estimates. It also boasts good margins, according to the data, 80-85% gross margin, which is excellent for service, and a solid 10-15% profit margin overall. This reflects a potentially profitable, established service-based business model.
So their volume spike could be related to things like earnings results, maybe news about opening new locations or expansion plans, or perhaps just positive trends in consumer spending on elective aesthetic procedures.
Precisely. Drivers related to their specific business execution and market niche. Probability is listed as medium, with a medium-term hold recommendation.
Okay, what about AIHS, Senmiao Technology Limited?
AIHS is listed as fintech, financial technology operating in China. The information explicitly flags this one as high risk due to the specific regulatory environment in China, which can be unpredictable for tech companies.
Ah, that geopolitical regulatory risk factor.
Exactly. The data notes it has limited analyst coverage and is considered highly speculative. Its AI correlation is moderate, 4-10, as most fintech companies utilize AI to some extent for things like credit scoring or fraud detection. But it's really the China regulatory risk that's emphasized in the description.
So this illustrates how external, non-industry-specific factors like regulatory risk in a particular country can also drive volatility and unusual volume, right?
Absolutely. It's not always about the company's core business. Sometimes the operating environment itself is the main story. The probability here is listed as low to medium, and it's recommended as a short-term speculative hold, likely due to that high uncertainty.
Got it. Then there are XTIA and PCLA, XTA Aerospace, and Picosella INSC. What's the quick take there?
Both seem to fall into the limited information, highly speculative category, similar to GELs and KLTO. XTIA is in aerospace and defense. PCLA is listed as tech, possibly wireless hardware related. Both are noted as having limited info, likely OTC listed, considered speculative, and have very low correlation to the main narratives. 1-2-10 for XTIA, 2-10 for PCLA.
So their volume spikes are probably from very specific, maybe unconfirmed news like contract wins for XTIA or just pure speculative trading in these less transparent names.
That's the most likely explanation based on the data provided. XTIA has medium probability, PCLA is low to medium.
These outliers really show that while the big narratives like biotech and AI today clearly explain a lot of the unusual market action, individual company events or unique risk factors can definitely trigger significant volume spikes too, especially in those less visible, perhaps OTC traded stocks.
Exactly right. Sometimes it's a broad tidal wave lifting many boats in a sector, and sometimes it's just a very specific splash caused by one particular company hitting a rock or finding a treasure chest, so to speak. You need to look at each case.
Good analogy. And finally, let's touch on BNZI, Banzai International Inns and Art, Aries Technology, INC. The data suggests both are tech software or IT services companies with notable AI connections, right?
Correct. BNZI is listed with a strong 7-10 AI correlation for its virtual engagement platform, Think, webinars, virtual events. These platforms are increasingly incorporating AI for things like audience analytics, personalized content recommendations, or maybe automated summaries.
Makes sense. And AART.
AART has an even higher 8-10 AI correlation listed. They are described as an IT services provider focusing on digital transformation and business process management, BPM. A big part of that now involves helping their enterprise clients implement and integrate AI solutions into their operations.
Okay, so both are tapping into the AI trend, one through its platform, the other by providing AI implementation services. How do they look financially?
According to the data, they both currently have negative EPS and negative margins, BNZI significantly so. However, similar to Marin Software, they both have positive estimated future EPS and sales growth projections listed. BNZI also had a reverse split back in 2023 mentioned, which again points to potential past challenges.
So they seem to represent companies actively leveraging the AI trend to offer services or enhance their platforms, betting heavily on future growth, even if they aren't profitable right now.
That appears to be the narrative based on the financials and descriptions. They are investing in growth tied to AI adoption. The probability for both is listed as medium.
And their volume spikes today are likely tied to things like updates on their platforms, maybe announcing new AI features, winning significant new client contracts, or possibly earnings reports, where investors are keenly looking at how well they are capitalizing on the strong corporate demand for AI-related services and solutions.
That's very likely the case. News flow related to their execution within the AI space would be key for stocks like these.
Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground unpacking this list. So bringing this all together now, what does this specific snapshot of unusual trading activity from today, June 10th, 2025, really tell us about the market's focus right now, based purely on the information we've analyzed?
Well, I think it paints a pretty clear picture for today, at least. The unusual trading volume we examined is heavily, heavily concentrated in the biotechnology and healthcare sector.
Yeah, that was undeniable.
And a lot of this activity seems directly tied to the high stakes, often highly speculative nature of clinical trial results, and the potential for significant regulatory milestones, either positive or negative. Hope and fear driving volume. We also saw the artificial intelligence narrative significantly driving interest, both in companies applying AI to new frontiers like computational biology, remember Evagene and AppCellera, and also in more traditional tech companies that are integrating AI into their existing service offerings or platforms, like Marin Software, Banzai, and Ares.
And alongside these two major waves, biotech and AI, we also observed that some of the volume spikes seem driven by very specific company news in other unrelated sectors, like Austin and Industrials or AirSculpt and Aesthetics.
Exactly. And then there was that other category stocks where the activity appears to be primarily speculative, often occurring in less transparent, typically OTC listed stocks, where reliable information is scarce, like KLTO, GELS, XTIA, and PCLA.
It's really important to reiterate, too, as the information we reviewed often implies or states directly, isn't it? That high volume and these huge price swings, particularly when you see them in early stage companies or those with consistently negative financials, or especially those with limited public data available, it frequently reflects high speculation and significant underlying risk.
Absolutely critical point.
This activity doesn't necessarily signify a fundamental lasting shift in the company's value yet. It often reflects intense market attention focused on potential future events, or sometimes just the mechanics of speculative trading itself. Momentum chasing, short squeezes, things like that. We saw phrases like high risk, high reward, or highly speculative used repeatedly in the data for many of these names.
Those descriptors are there for a reason. They highlight the nature of the investment or trade.
And that really underscores the critical importance of catalysts for so many of these stocks, especially in the biotech space, doesn't it? Their fate, their stock price trajectory, often hinges almost entirely on very specific high-impact events that haven't happened yet.
That's the core dynamic.
Things like getting positive versus negative results from a pivotal clinical trial, or receiving a crucial approval or rejection decision from a regulatory body like the FDA, or maybe landing a major partnership deal that validates their technology or provides funding. The data consistently listed these types of events as the direct correlations to potential news or catalysts driving the stock.
Investors in these specific companies are fundamentally betting on the future news flow and the successful outcome of events that are still uncertain. It's anticipation driving the market action.
So for you, the listener, what's the real value of diving deep like this? Well, by unpacking the specific list of companies showing unusual trading volume today, using only the information provided, we've seen tangible, real-world examples of how major market narratives, with biotech innovation and AI expansion being the most prominent ones on this list today, translate into actual investor interest and significant, sometimes really dramatic, stock price movements.
You can see the themes playing out live.
Exactly. It highlights the typical characteristics of companies like those clinical stage biotechs, whose value is inherently volatile, precisely because it's tied so strongly to future scientific or regulatory breakthroughs rather than any current financial performance.
Yeah, the contrast is stark.
And it starkly contrasts these types of companies with others on the same list that actually have established financials and profitability, like Insmed, Austin, or AirSculpt. And it also contrasts them with companies that are still in those early R&D phases, or maybe growth at all costs phases, even if they possess potentially groundbreaking technology like some of the AI or computational biology plays. It shows you the different profiles that can attract unusual attention.
It's a practical demonstration using today's specific examples of how market sentiment, that anticipation of future events we talked about, and pure speculation can manifest in daily trading activity across different types of companies.
It really is.
Yeah.
We've journeyed through a pretty fascinating list today, haven't we? Seeing how big trends like biotech and AI are fueling a lot of the action, but often alongside very company-specific drivers, mm-hmm. and sometimes just sheer speculation and less visible names.
We definitely saw a mix. Companies where the story is one of pure, unproven, hopeful potential, and others where it's more about navigating current business challenges or capitalizing on specific niche markets. And all of that got reflected in today's unusual trading volume list.
So based on everything we've unpacked today, thinking about the sheer number of clinical stage biotechs and also the companies leveraging AI that showed up with this kind of unusual volume, maybe consider this provocative thought as we wrap up.
Yeah.
How does the potential for future breakthroughs, whether it's in medicine curing diseases or in technology transforming industries, create such immense, albeit often speculative, interest and activity in the market right now, even for companies that aren't making any money today and might not for years? What does seeing these kinds of potentially world-changing but highly uncertain stocks dominate an unusual volume list like today's? Tell us about where investors collectively are placing their bets on the future. And perhaps, what does it say about the significant risks they seem willing to take in pursuit of those potentially transformative but far from guaranteed outcomes?
It certainly speaks volumes about the power of anticipating the future in the market, right? And maybe the market's current risk tolerance or appetite for narratives that promise significant disruptive change down the road.
Definitely something to think about. And now, before we officially wrap up, it is critically important that we remember and state clearly, as the key legal notice included in the information we reviewed emphasizes. This deep dive discussion has been conducted purely for educational and analytical purposes.
Strictly informational.
Yes. Based only on the information that was provided to us for this analysis. This discussion is not and should absolutely not be construed as financial advice, investment advice, trading advice, or any kind of solicitation or recommendation to buy or sell any securities mentioned or any other securities.
We are not advising you to do anything with your money.
Absolutely not. Our analysis is based on publicly available information as presented in the sources and our interpretations of that data. These interpretations may not be complete, they might contain errors, or they might not be entirely accurate. Investing in the stock market, especially in the types of volatile stocks we discussed today, involves substantial risk.
That includes the very real risk of losing your entire investment.
Yes. We do not and cannot guarantee any specific outcomes or profits based on the information presented here. It is absolutely essential that you conduct your own thorough research, your own due diligence.
Very important.
And or consult with a qualified and regulated financial advisor, someone who can properly assess your individual financial situation, your investment goals, your risk tolerance, before you make any investment decisions.
Talk to a professional who knows your circumstances.
We assume no responsibility or liability whatsoever for any errors or omissions in the content presented in this discussion, or for any investment actions you might take based on this information. We've simply helped you unpack these specific details from the information you shared with us for this deep dive today.
Always, always do your own homework before investing.
Couldn't agree more. And with that important reminder, another deep dive is complete.